church. All right, there is no district superintendent to whom Bible Baptist Church has to answer or respond. There is no one that oversees our church along with other churches in the state or in the area who we report to report our memberships and our baptisms, report our offerings and give in to the collective system, all that kind of stuff. There's none of those things over us. We have our church offices, our church officers, and it's all self-contained. So what we're studying tonight is important because it goes against the teaching that it's not a local church. The other teaching it goes against is apostolic succession. All right, starting in 95 AD, Clement came out with this teaching that from Peter, there is an apostolic succession of men from him that have the apostle's stamp of approval on them. And they, of course, are called the Pope. And then the Pope appoints his archbishops and archdeacons and all these things. But there's a succession of these people coming down through it. And that's not New Testament theology. In fact, the apostles, when they died, the apostles died. There's no apostles today. Now, there are those that claim to be apostles. And they're just a little weird. They're a little strange because to be an apostle, you had to have been alive when Jesus Christ was walking this earth. So if you say you're an apostle, you're a pretty old fella. But there are no apostles. There are offices now that are in effect for the service of the local church, and there's only two. And that's what we're going to be studying tonight. Notice our first verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. All right? We're keying in on the word office right there. It's only used two times, and once is in reference to the bishop, which we'll talk about who the bishop is, the pastor, we'll see, and it's called an office. If any man desire the office of a bishop. All right, the second verse is 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon, well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there are two offices, and this is very simple and very clear in Scripture. There are only two offices in the Bible, and that is that of the pastor and the deacon. The pastor is called the bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll talk about different titles in just a moment. But those are the only two offices of a church. Now there are other positions. Sound man. Song leader. Sunday school teacher. But those are not offices, those are positions of service. But there are two offices established in the New Testament to serve the church in that degree, and that's the office of pastor and deacon. One of the terms we'll come across later is elder, and there's many that think that there are three. There's the pastor, there's the deacons, and then there's the elder board. And elder board is nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in the Bible. We'll see that elder is just another term for pastor in one of his capacities. And so there's no third party, no third ruling group in the church called elders. If there were, it would say, if any man desire the office of a pastor, a bishop, if any man desire the office of a deacon, those are there, if any man desire the office of an elder, if it was a separate group or separate office, there would be a third list of regulations for them. But there's only two found anywhere in the Bible, whether it's in Timothy or Titus, both times. It's the office of a pastor, the office of a deacon. Those are the only two offices in the Bible. The Bible only gives two offices in the church, bishop or pastor and deacon. Look at Philippians. You might want to write this reference down here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul writing to the church of Philippi says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. All right, again, we'll see what the word bishop means. It's a reference to that which we call the pastor. But Paul is obviously saying there, he said, here we're writing, Paul and Timotheus are writing to all the saints, that's the congregation, to all the saints that are in Christ Jesus in Philippi, with the bishops or the pastors and the deacons. All right, just two groups. He didn't leave out a third. He didn't forget to say the elders. The elders here are listed under bishops. So there's only two groups, two offices. Very simple, very easy. All right. There are no popes, no cardinals, no archbishops, no priests, no fathers, no district superintendents, and as we said already, no apostles. All right, the apostles are dead and gone. The last one was John on the Isle of Patmos, and when he died, the office of apostle went away. They didn't feel a need to. There's nothing in Scripture that says they appointed apostles after them. That office faded with those that outlived the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If you were born during that time and could have seen him here on earth, you could be an apostle. But since nobody here could do that, nobody after 100 AD could do that, after John died around 99 AD, there were no more apostles after that. So what that leaves us, pastors and deacons. All right, let's look at these two words and see what they mean. The first office is that of a pastor. We've already said that it says bishop, but we'll start with this title, pastor. The work of his office is described in three words. All right, there are three different terms used in the New Testament to describe the pastor. These are not three separate offices, which some folks mistakenly believe, that there is three different offices in the leadership of the church outside of the deacons. But these three terms are all referring to the same person, and we'll see why they're used differently. All right, the first one is bishop. A word that we're not real comfortable with in our American phraseology, but our Bible is an English Bible, and in England the word bishop, and especially in New Testament times, even in Greek, the word bishop was used of a tax collector, used of anyone who had a administrative role in counting and doing things like this. And that's what the office of a bishop is. The bishop, this term, refers to the office of the leader of the church. So the pastor is called a bishop because he is the leader in financial matters. We'll look how it says it here. This term refers to the office of the leader of the church. Let me say this. The word bishop is used four times in Scripture. That's all, just four times. One of those is in reference to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:25, Jesus Christ is the bishop of our souls. So that's referring to him. So there's only three references, really, that talk about the office of a bishop or of a pastor. And those are in 1 Timothy. But look at two other references. Look at 2 Timothy, if you would, and see if you have this. That'll leave you scratching your head. What does that mean? See if you have this. Look at 2 Timothy and the end of the epistle, and see if you have the footnote at the end of the epistle of 2 Timothy, after verse 22. Some of you will have this, and some Bibles don't put it in. But after verse 22, after he says, "Grace be with you, amen," there's a little footnote in many of our Bibles that says, "The second epistle unto Timotheus ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians, was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time." All right, the footnote that's here says that Timotheus was ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians. In other words, he was the leader of the church at Ephesus. If you look at the end of the next book, Titus, and if you have the footnotes in there, at the end of Titus chapter 3, after verse 15, you'll see it here also. It was written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the church of the Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. So Timothy and Titus both were left to be bishops in the place of their service. Timothy in Ephesus, Titus there on the island of Crete, and they were left there to serve the Lord in that position. All right? The term bishop, going back to our notes here, the term bishop means overseer. All right? That's what the word bishop means. It means nothing more than overseer. It is not really a spiritual assignment. It is overseeing physical things. All right? The term bishop means overseer, and the qualifications for this position are given in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. We'll not take time to look there, but the verse at the very top said, "This is a saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." A bishop, therefore, must be, and it gives a list of qualifications of personal life, qualifications of calling to that position that he's going to hold. All right? In his role as bishop, the pastor oversees, and that's the catch. He oversees the ministries of the church. It is his responsibility to oversee the doctrine, the preaching, the music, the outreach, the finances, and the teaching of the church. All right? As a bishop, that's that title of a pastor, but in this capacity as a bishop, he's an overseer of the church. He's overseeing the different things. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. You'll notice the verse. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So that's where we get the word. The bishop means overseer. The Bible says he's to take the oversight of the church, not by constraint, but willingly. So the pastor as a bishop is one that has the oversight of the ministries of the church. Now, of course, we delegate things so that one person's not doing everything, but the pastor as a bishop is the one that's overlooking these things. Our next line here on the paper, the term bishop speaks of the pastor in his administrative role. His administrative role. I often joke about how many hats you have to wear as a pastor. Coming in the morning sometimes, taking care of the mail, taking care of the emails, taking care of the phone messages, all right, then taking care many times of church financial matters, then counseling with different folks about different things and calling people on the phones, in addition to studying and preparing to preach on Sundays and Wednesdays and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of administrative responsibilities that go on. When a church gets large enough that it can hire a secretary or someone to take a load of that off of it, it doesn't make a new position. The pastor is still the bishop, but he relegates some of those responsibilities to someone else to do, though. But he is still the overseer, though. So if there's one word we can use when we think of this, it's the word lead. All right? The pastor is the leader of the church. He makes sure everything is going right, that people are in their responsibilities and doing what needs to be done to make everything run like a well-oiled machine. And so when everything's going good, it's because the pastor is doing his job. When things aren't going good, it's because somebody else messed up, not the pastor. No. All right, his job is to make sure everything is running good, everything's going well. So that's the work of a pastor as a bishop. Now our second term is the word pastor. All right, the word pastor, which appears 9 times in the Bible. This is interesting. The word pastor comes from the root word, which is also our word pasture. And what is a pasture? That's a place where the flock gets fed. All right, and that's where the word pastor comes from. All right, the word pastor appears 9 times in the Bible. 8 of those times, pastor is 1, pastors plural is 8 times, so a total of 9, and 8 of those times are in the book of Jeremiah. Isn't that interesting? 8 times the word pastor is just found in the book of Jeremiah. Only 1 time outside of that. Look at if you would. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and find the only place where the word pastor is used in the New Testament. But it gives us another aspect of what the bishop does. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles, again those faded out, and some prophets, those are no longer with us, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now some have said, if you notice, and some prophets, semicolon, and some evangelists, semicolon, and some pastors and teachers, semicolon. So the pastors and teachers is one thing together. And that's the pastor's role. We said as a bishop, it's to lead. As a pastor, it's to feed. All right? And that's what it tells us in verse number 11. Pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. The job of the pastor is to make you perfect. Anybody want to sign up tonight? All right? The job of the pastor is to make his church members perfect. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. All right, that's the role of the pastor as a pastor. As a bishop, he's taking care of administrative things, overseeing the church, overseeing people and their needs and things like that. As the as a as a pastor, his responsibility is to feed, to lead, and then to feed. All right, the shepherd is to feed the flock of God. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, in the verse right above this. According to Ephesians 4:12, it is his responsibility to perfect the saints, do the work of the ministry, and to edify the body of Christ. So as a bishop, he leads. As a pastor, he feeds. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, God said, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So in the context of a local church, the leadership is the bishop slash pastor whose responsibility is to lead by overseeing everything and to feed by giving the word of God and knowledge. All right, the next term then is elder. Our next term, our third term is elder. Now again, the bishop and the pastor are not two different people. And in certain denominations, they are. A pastor answers to a bishop. A bishop is over a number of different churches, and the pastors of all these churches answer to him. But in the New Testament, they're not two different people. It's the same person in two different roles. The bishop is the one that's leading. The pastor is the one that's feeding, and both of those jobs are done by the same person. All right? Now, when you add those two together, bishop and pastor, you have the term elder. All right? Not a third office, not a third position, but an elder is a collective term of the bishop and the pastor. What he does as a leader, what he does as a feeder, now he's called an elder. These terms are used interchangeably in the New Testament. The term elder refers to the combination of the role of pastor, whose job is to feed, and bishop, whose job is to lead. It is not a separate position. Notice this in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll look at another reference, but it'd be a lot better. Take this home and look at it later in your Bible, and you'll see this more clearly, I think, than you will here on this page. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul writes, and he said, "The elders which are among you I exhort." So he's writing to the elders. Then he says in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God." All right, that's the job of a pastor. Who did he just tell that to? The elders. He said to the elders, feed the flock of God. Then he says, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. That's the bishop. So an elder is simply someone that's doing the office of bishop and pastor. And it's the same person. It's taking the bishop, who is the leader, and the pastor, who's the feeder, and that term for them collectively, that one person in both of those jobs, is elder. All right? The elders which are among you, I exhort, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. All right, I want you to look at Acts chapter 20. And that's why we didn't turn to 1 Peter 5, because I was planning to do this one anyways. But look at Acts chapter 20, and we see the same thing. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, the Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus," talking about Paul, "and called the elders of the church." All right, the elders in Ephesus. He said he called the elders of the church. Now, in verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said to them," all right, the city of Ephesus had more than one church. It had several churches in it. And Paul sent for them to gather together so he could challenge, so he could charge them, not with any authority over them, but just to speak to them collectively. And here's what he said. Look, if we jump down to verse 28, here's what he is saying to these elders, the pastors of these churches together. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." What's that? A bishop. All right? "Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock of God, pastors." So the elder is simply someone who's doing the work of the bishop and the pastor. They're all the same person. All right? The elders are those which are overseeing the church and feeding the church. It's three different terms for the same person. Then our verse at the bottom of the page from Hebrews 13. "Remember them which have the rule over you," that's the bishop, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's the pastor. Leading and feeding. Leading as a bishop, feeding as a pastor, serving as an elder. All three of these things are one position. So there's two offices, that first of all of the pastor. Then secondly, on the back of your page there is the office of a deacon. There are two different offices, one of the pastor, one of the deacon. These serve the local church, no interference from anything else. The second office identified in the Bible is that of a deacon. The word deacon means servant. All right, the word deacon means servant. In fact, the same word translated deacon in the New Testament is also translated servant in Romans chapter 16, because it's talking about Phoebe, our sister. And Phoebe is not a deacon because she's not the husband of one wife, so she doesn't meet the qualifications, but she's a servant of the church. So that's what the word deacon means. It means servant. So the word deacon means servant. The office of deacon is not a ruling office. The elders, the bishops and pastors, that is the ruling office. A deacon is not a ruling office. A deacon is not in charge of church affairs, but assists the pastor in the secular things of the church. You understand that the church has a spiritual side and a secular side. We have to pay the light bill. We have to pave the parking lot at different times. We have to make decisions for members of the congregation. Not everything is preaching and feeding and teaching. Some of it is day-to-day living. Folks in need, folks that get sick, folks in the hospital, folks in the nursing home, folks that are missing church and need to be visited. All right? That's the responsibility, the secular thing, the job of the deacon. Notice it says in our second paragraph, deacons are first introduced in the church in Acts chapter 6, when the church grew to such a size that the apostles were no longer able to keep up with the business of the church. If you'll look at Acts chapter 6, in Acts chapter 6, that word business is very instructional. It says in Acts chapter 6, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The church at Jerusalem was taking care of the widows that were among it. Those that had no husband, no male children to provide for them. The church was relieving them of their burden and helping them out with food, with expenses, whatever it was. Well, the church got so big, there were so many widows. The apostles were spending all their time running around taking care of those physical needs, that they weren't able to do what they needed to do to prepare for the spiritual needs of the church. So verse 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over, notice the last two words, this business. All right, the church has a secular responsibility, a business. It's not all preaching. It's not all teaching. There's a lot of footwork that needs to be involved. And the apostles were burdened to the point where they were spending all their time doing the footwork, no time doing the prayer and preparation of the word. They weren't able to feed like they were supposed to because of the other responsibilities. All right, the deacons, middle of paragraph 2, the deacon's responsibility is to look after the physical needs of the church so that the pastor can commit himself to the spiritual needs of the church. All right, the Lord has thought it all out. He's got it all worked out. He's got a perfect system. He's got it so designed that we don't need outside influence. We don't need outside authority. The Lord is taking care of everything within the local church. All right? The deacon's responsibility is to look after the physical, that's visiting the sick, helping those that are in need, visiting members that have different things to do, all right, so that the pastor can deal with the spiritual needs. Verse 4 of Acts 6 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Though no specific number of deacons is recommended nor required in Scripture, this is a common question. How many deacons should there be in a church? All right? There's no prescription in the Bible as to how many deacons the church has to have. But in Acts chapter 6, they were told to choose out seven men. Seven men to take the burden off the apostles of all these widows, because the church then was in the thousands. The church at Jerusalem, we know 3,000 were, there were 120 before Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved on Pentecost. And that's in Acts chapter 3. Then you got the church growing in chapter 4, chapter 5, and we get to chapter 6. Some have estimated the church at Jerusalem to be as big as 18,000 people by this time. And they needed seven men to help do that. I know churches of 15 people that have seven deacons. All right, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're allowed to do that. There's no number prescribed. But the position is to help the pastor to take the secular work, the business work off, so he can give himself to prayer and the ministry of the word. All right, there are 9 qualifications for a deacon found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. We're not doing a study of these two offices. That's why we didn't go back there. We did that when we went through 1 Timothy here a few months ago. But those 9 qualifications are there, and there's also 4 qualifications for the pastor or for the deacon's wife included in that. All right, they also include, not only are those 9, but here in Acts chapter 6, it says they also include being of honest report and being full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I don't know about you, but that's a tough requirement. You know, in some churches, being a deacon is a place of prestige. It's you've now arrived because you as a deacon in the church. All right, but a deacon is a servant. A deacon is one who has the spirit of serving others, not of being served because they're in that position, but being in a position where he wants to serve other people. The deacon is a spiritual man assisting the pastor with the secular things of the church. All right, so we've got the spiritual end taken care of through the pastor. We've got the business end kind of being taken care of as the secular end as the pastor designates to the deacons what to do. And together they run the churches. I don't want to say they run the church. They operate the church in such a way that everyone is pleased. So in a Baptist church, in Baptist history, we have not had all the other organizations, all the other offices. You don't look for a position for everybody to be in, so everybody's got a place of authority. There are 2 positions, that's the pastor and the deacon. And when everybody's in the right place doing the right thing, everything runs smooth. When you get things out of kilter, when things are not running right, that's because there's a problem there. But again, trustees, treasurers, Sunday school teachers are positions in the church, but not offices in the church. The office of a pastor, the office of a deacon. All right, let's stand together this evening. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll sing a couple verses of a song.